On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. It represents about 3,800 employers of all sizes from every sector of our state's economy. It surveyed businesses last month on a variety of topics. Nearly three-quarters of respondents said the workforce shortage was the top public policy issue facing our state. Are you a business owner? Do you think the state government is doing all it can to help you? What are your thoughts on the pending state budget? 800-642-1234. Kurt Bauer is president and CEO of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Kurt, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. The pandemic and the recession has caused economic hardship across the country, of course, here in Wisconsin. What is your take on how Wisconsin businesses are doing at this point in the pandemic?
Well, you mentioned our economic survey. We do that twice per year, and we are registering the highest percentage of our membership indicating that they're having trouble finding workers, 86%, which is an extraordinary number. We're typically pre-pandemic, we were around 70%, maybe 75%, somewhere in that neighborhood. We knew that this was our number one challenge going into the pandemic. It's just a demographic issue. We've had below replacement birth rates and more people leaving the state than coming in. And it's been compounded by the effects of the pandemic. So that's the biggest challenge businesses have right now. I'm sure many of your listeners have experienced service interruptions, perhaps at a restaurant. You can't drive around the state without seeing help wanted signs everywhere. So this is a big challenge as we're trying to recover from COVID-19.
So what are businesses doing to recruit and retain employees?
Well, I mentioned, again, it's extraordinary how many signs you see out there talking about, you know, what shifts and, you know, flexible hours. What we're seeing, our survey has shown salaries and bonuses have gone up the highest since we've been doing the survey, starting back in the 1990s. Department of Labor data has shown that as well. We're seeing sign-on bonuses. We're seeing gift cards for people who have completed a full work week. We're seeing meals being provided to some extent, a lot of flexibility, more time off. They're trying to adjust, but right now we have more jobs than we have people. You're competing against the guy down the street or the restaurant or retail shop across the street. It's just a challenge for the state, and long term we're going to have to address it if we want our economy to be what it should be.
One of the help wanted signs I saw, driving through the Fox Valley, a manufacturing firm had this big sign outside that said, "No nights or weekends. We're good people here." And it made me think about, you want to know who you're working for in terms, are they going to be good to their employees over the long haul, not just to get them in the door? What do you hear out there in order to retain employees?
Well, I mentioned the gift cards, and of course, you've got to pay a competitive wage based on the market. You want to have the right culture. That's a challenge, of course, post-COVID. It depends on, a manufacturing facility that you weren't able to outsource that. You had to be physically on the shop floor. But, in an office environment, when people can work remotely, the culture is challenged. It's difficult. What allegiance does somebody who's worked remotely have to the organization? And that person may very easily just decide that they're going to go to another company and maybe wish that they hadn't. I mean, we've seen examples of that where people will chase an extra 50 cents per hour and then try and come back to the original place, which usually, they're welcome back with open arms given the dynamics of the workforce right now. But there are all kinds of challenges out there, a lot of different things that businesses are doing to try and be creative to show that they want to be the employer of choice.
Kurt, the governor had proposed gradually raising the minimum wage to $10.15 an hour by 2024. The legislature scrapped that plan. Is the governor's proposal something that WMC would support?
Right now, with the $300 supplemental from the federal government, you can make $16.75 by basically not working. I don't know you know, the minimum wage in Wisconsin is $7.25. It's the federal. No one in Wisconsin, I believe, is making that. My 16-year-old son is making $13 an hour, and it's his first job. So that shows you've got the market working in that regard. I don't think we need, the minimum wage is not the issue right now. It's just purely we just don't have enough people.
So you would not support boosting the minimum wage over a number of years?
No, we would not.
Kurt Bauer is CEO of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, a position he's held for the past decade. We're getting his insights on the economic recovery in Wisconsin and the pending budget. You can join in. What are your thoughts on how Wisconsin businesses are doing? Are you in favor of the tax cuts the legislature approved in its budget? Do you think the state is over or under taxed? 800-642-1234. Kurt, moving to the enhanced $300 in unemployment benefits that people out of work are able to collect at this point, you know, last week the governor vetoed a bill that would end these benefits. What problems do you see in these benefits causing?
Well, we have a short-term problem in these $300 per week supplemental benefits, and then a long-term problem, which we just articulated. But clearly the $300 per month per week, rather, is keeping some people on the sidelines when we need them to get back into the workforce. There's been, you know, multiple data points on that. UW-Madison economist said that, you know, our labor force in Wisconsin is tighter now than pre-pandemic. And the JOLTS report from the Department of Labor shows that there are 7.1 million people who are still on the sidelines who had been working prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. So that's an indication as well that people are on the sidelines. So there's all kinds of different data points out there. Obama-era economist Jason Furman said that only 24% of unemployed people are transitioning back to work, and he said that number should be higher. So it's hard to quantify it. You know, the governor said that there were no data points. I just gave you a few. I could go through some more.
Well, let me step in here, because you can't deny the body of research that has found unemployment benefits have little to no impact on people's motivation to seek work. Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago last year, unemployment benefits prompted people to job hunt even harder. University of Chicago earlier this year found that not only did more generous jobless benefits not rein in people's tendency to job hunt, it also generated among those households an unexpected increase in spending. What do you make of those studies?
Well, I'm aware of those. And I guess, you know, and I've got, you know, the San Francisco Fed has a conflicting study to the Chicago one. Indeed.com saw a spike in job searches in states that had ended the $300 per week payment. Burning Glass estimates that there were 50,000 job postings in just the manufacturing sector in Wisconsin since January. So there's conflicting data points there. I think what I just say is anecdotally, when you talk to businesses, business owners, they will tell you that this is a disincentive for some people to work.
So the enhanced benefits end 9 weeks from now. You see these 9 weeks, you're saying, are absolutely critical for turning around the worker shortage?
Well, no, I think that we're going to have to resolve that we will have these supplemental benefits through Labor Day, and businesses will have to adjust accordingly. It'll probably hurt entertainment and hospitality the most, given, you know, where the dollar amounts are on the wage scale. That could be a real challenge, particularly, again, for hospitality and leisure in a tourist state like Wisconsin. They were hammered last summer because of COVID-19, and this is the summer that they were hoping to recover, and many of them are having trouble finding workers. Certainly, we hear this from our local chambers of commerce in the tourist parts of the state. And in fact, this morning, just browsing Twitter, I saw Minnesota's got the same problem that we do in their tourist areas.
Kurt Bauer with us, CEO of WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the combined state chamber and manufacturers association. What do you think the state government can do to help businesses and the economy rebound in Wisconsin? Are you in favor of the tax cuts the legislature approved in its budget plan? Do you think the state is over or under taxed? Join in 800-642-1234. There's more State Cap in a Minute with Kurt Bauer on the Ideas Network. We're checking in with business and industry on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As the governor prepares to take action on the legislature's two-year spending plan, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the state's business lobby, is sounding the alarm on a major statewide hiring crunch, as we've been talking about. Its recent survey of businesses found nearly 80% plan to increase their number of employees in the next 6 months, and they're raising wages to do that. 7 in 10 respondents plan to raise wages at least 3% this year. What initiatives do you think would help Wisconsin businesses? Are you a struggling business owner? What's your biggest need? 800-642-1234. Kurt Bauer is CEO of WMC and stays with us for about 9 more minutes. Kurt, let's look at the pending budget, the pending two-year budget. The legislature approved a state budget that cut many of Governor Evers' proposals for health care, for education, other things. What do you make of the governor's original proposal?
I like it. It raised taxes on manufacturers, capital gains, sales tax, property tax. We did not think it was a pro-business pro-growth budget, particularly the manufacturing portion of the manufacturers and agricultural production tax credit didn't make any sense to us. We're a manufacturing state, about 20% of state GDP, 380,000 Wisconsinites work in manufacturing. It's the backbone of the middle class in this state. And the fact that he wanted to raise taxes on manufacturers coming out of a deep economic recession because of the pandemic just didn't make any sense. So we were very pleased that the legislature swept that proposal away along with the other ones that I mentioned.
Well, there is legislation moving alongside the budget, and a bill aims to eliminate the personal property tax that businesses pay on equipment by $200 million. WMC has supported getting rid of this tax. What do you see as the problem with it?
Well, there's a cost associated with it, the $200 million that you just mentioned. But frankly, it's probably more of a bureaucratic nightmare. It's just an onerous requirement, particularly for smaller businesses, because they have to track and write off items that they purchase that can be moved. It's archaic. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. It didn't generate a lot of revenue, and it sure had a lot of burden, again, particularly for smaller businesses that, you know, that don't have the accounting staff that a larger one does.
What do you make of the changes made by the Republican legislature to the two-year budget plan? What do you see in this plan?
Well, we like the $3.4 billion in cuts, the big reductions for the third income bracket from 6.27% to 5.3%. And that covers a broad swath of earners in the state from anywhere from $24,000 per year to $264,000 per year. So that's meaningful tax reform and tax reduction for the state. And as you know, we have a surplus. So, you know, they collect too much money. They should give it back. It just seems fair that taxpayers in the state are reaping a dividend from the tax collections.
The funding on education, the biggest chunk of the budget, was about 1/10 of what Governor Evers requested in his proposal. You know, K-12, they're your future workers. Are you concerned that this budget underinvests in education?
No, this has a historically high per pupil increase in spending for K-12. It's perhaps not as much as what the governor wanted, but I think that this is something that prepares us very well. You're absolutely right. Young people are the future of our state's economy, and I think that we're making the appropriate investment in this budget.
We're talking with Kurt Bauer, who is president and CEO of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. We're checking in with the state's business lobby and a variety of government and industry issues, taking your questions as well. What initiatives do you think would help Wisconsin's manufacturing industry? Do we need less regulation, or should we be investing in education and research development? 800-642-1234. I want to look for a moment here on a piece of the governor's budget that had proposed legalizing marijuana for recreational use in the budget, but the legislature took it out of their spending plan. The national trend is toward legalization. Illinois, as you know, and Michigan recently legalized it. Is Wisconsin at a competitive disadvantage in maintaining prohibition?
I don't think so. We oppose legalization of recreational marijuana. Again, it comes down to workforce from our perspective. We don't need anything else out there that might disqualify somebody from working again. I also said we're a big manufacturing state. Manufacturers and construction are very opposed to legalized marijuana because it's very hard to detect. I mean, you can tell if somebody is under the influence of alcohol or other types of drugs. It's very challenging to determine whether somebody is impaired because of marijuana. So it's a huge safety issue in a manufacturing state like Wisconsin. So those are the reasons why we've been opposed to it. We're neutral on medical marijuana.
So even if it would bring in tax revenue, additional tax revenue to the state, or that your residents are going out of state to be able to go get marijuana legally in other states?
Yeah, I don't see that being a huge issue. I must tell you, I haven't studied the issue in depth, but in talking to my colleagues in Colorado and Washington State and some of the other states that were early adapters of recreational marijuana, it has not been the windfall that they thought it would be from a tax collection standpoint. And the black market is still thriving in those states. So I don't know that it would have generated the kind of revenue that some people think it would have done. I think the consequences long term would have been far more damaging.
I want to circle back for a moment on the worker shortage. And one thing that you've been really advocating for is a return to marketing Wisconsin to people out of state. What is your position there?
Right. So, you know, I said we have a short-term problem and a long-term problem. The short-term, of course, was the $300 per week supplemental that might be encouraging some people to stay on the sidelines. Longer-term, of course, we've got to figure out a way to get more people. Otherwise, our economy will suffer. Most economists will tell you that if you don't have GDP growth, if you don't have a working-age population growth, you're not going to have GDP growth. So we were able to lobby the previous administration to start a talent attraction campaign, because if you don't have enough people in the state, you've got to draw people in. And Wisconsin's a great state with a lot of advantages and opportunities for people, diverse economies, safe communities. I always say that we're the best kept secret in the Midwest, and that's not working out very well for us. Unfortunately, Governor Evers has discontinued that program, and we've asked him to reinstate it. There is some money in the state budget to reinstate that. There was money in the last budget, but for whatever reason, the governor doesn't believe that that's an important aspect. And from our perspective, we need talent retention, keeping every born and raised Wisconsinites. We need talent attraction, bringing people in from other states and other countries. And then we need talent reintegration, and that's getting people who are of working age but are not currently in the workforce.
So when you say a talented attraction campaign, are you talking like billboards and social media ads?
Yeah, it was a combination of things. It was under the Wisconsin Department of Work, WEDC, Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. And I thought they did a very nice job of researching it. They didn't have a lot of money, but I think they maximized what they had. They targeted Chicagoland, the Twin Cities, Iowa. They targeted people who had left the state but had maybe attended or graduated from a Wisconsin post-secondary institution like the UW system or Marquette or something like that. And then they also went after veterans, because Wisconsin has a lot of different benefits for veterans, and the military pays for somebody to make their final move when they're mustering out of the military. All of the above seem to be working, because in 2017 and 2018, we actually had positive in-migration for the first time in, I'm thinking, around 30 years. So it's part of what we need. The other thing is we've got to work with our federal representatives on immigration reform, because that's going to have to be part of the mix as well.
And what do you see there very quickly on immigration reform? What are you advocating for?
Well, we'd like to see H-1B visa reform. H-1B visas are for highly skilled individuals. We've got great universities, as I mentioned. A lot of people from overseas get a degree in Wisconsin and would like to stay here, and we don't give them a visa because it's arbitrarily capped at $65,000 per year. We should reform that immediately and keep people who want to contribute to our economy and our culture and our society here, as opposed to sending them home where they're going to end up competing against us.
Kurt, thank you for joining us.
No, my pleasure, Kate. Thank you.
Kurt Bauer is president and CEO of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with more on the state budget debate. We hear from WPR's State Capitol reporter Laurel White is here. How do you want the governor to act on the legislature's budget plan? With their visions for spending far apart, where do you stand on fiscal issues? 800-642-1234. There's more State Cap after a news update on the Ideas Network.